Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the web source Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Plunges into Music. Question number one. The song I'm about to play rose to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the U.S. in 1964. What is the name of the group who recorded this number one hit? So is this A, the Velvet Underground, B, the Kinks, C, the Animals, or D, the Yardbirds? Name of the group who recorded this song. And question number two, how much studio time was paid by this group to record this hit song? Was it A, only 8 minutes? Was it B, just under 1 hour? Was it C, almost 92 minutes? Or D, just over 7 hours total? House of the Rising Sun. How long was the studio recording time? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July 25th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1959 that Santo and Johnny saw the release of their one and only hit record, the instrumental Sleepwalk. Sleepwalk, today in 59. And it was 60 years ago today, 1965, that Bob Dylan appeared on stage at the Newport Folk Festival with an electric guitar. He played a Fender Stratocaster with a backing band, causing controversy among some folk music purists who favored acoustic instruments and traditional folk styles. Dylan's electric performance, Newport Folk Festival today, 1965.
Turkey, Daddy was worried he was gonna
And in country, rock, and pop music news, we have this article titled, A Little-Known Song from the 1960s Has Hit the Chart for the First Time After Going Viral on TikTok. This is written by Georgia Wire, dailymail.co.uk, 24th of May, 2025. American singer Connie Francis's tune, Pretty Little Baby, which was originally released in 1962, has become increasingly popular on the social media platform. Francis, who is now 87 years old and back in the charts for the first time in over 60 years, recently took to her official Facebook page to comment on her song going viral. She wrote, My thanks to TikTok and its members for the wonderful and oh-so-unexpected reception given to my 1961 recording, Pretty Little Baby. I recorded that song 63 years ago, and to know that an entire new generation now knows who I am and my music is thrilling to me. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, TikTok. This is not the first time a decades-old song has resurfaced thanks to TikTok. Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, and Put Your Head on My Shoulder by Paul Anka all re-entered the charts after going viral on TikTok. As for Pretty Little Baby, the song first went viral in late April and is currently averaging 600,000 plus daily creates on TikTok. According to Billboard, it has nearly 15 million creates this year, totaling more than 10 billion views across all sounds on TikTok. Prior to going viral, the song was earning just north of 17,000 official streams a week in the U.S. 5 weeks later, it has increased to 4 million a week. As of last week, the song has received more than 14 million streams globally. As well as a surge in streams, this tune is rocketing up the official charts, including Spotify's viral charts, in 65 countries, where it secured the top spot in India, Indonesia, Philippines, Egypt, and Morocco, and top five in the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Singapore, Denmark, Romania, and many more. Francis, who was born Concetta Rosa Maria Franconero, is originally from New Jersey and got her start performing in festivals, talent shows, and variety shows before being signed to a record label. Her first several songs were commercial failures, which resulted in her being dropped by her record label. She was about to quit music in 1957 and even considered a career in medicine after being offered a 4-year scholarship at New York University when she scored her first breakout hit, Who's Sorry Now? Following this success, Frances went on to release dozens more hits, including Stupid Cupid, Lipstick on Your Collar, and Where the Boys Are. The singer was also once linked to crooner Bobby Darin. Her 1984 memoir even has two chapters dedicated to the Mac the Knife singer. Bobby Darin was different, dynamic, versatile, chock full of energy, with a fierce determination I had never seen before, she wrote. I learned to adore him for all the reasons I always would. His respect for the little guy, his sense of fairness, his intellect, candor, and self-confidence, the brashness, toughness, and sweet tenderness, all the contrast that made him so fascinating. Article skips down, ends with this. Bobby was my first and last love, she recalled in a 2015 Daily Mail interview. I never really loved anyone the way I loved him. He was dynamic and I trusted him completely, but we were star-crossed lovers. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, The War of the Romantics. It's published in Quora.com on the 23rd of October, 2022. Franz Liszt and Johannes Brahms were in competing musical camps. Liszt was musically liberal, along with Richard Wagner and other progressive composers. Brahms, on the other hand, was musically conservative, greatly respecting the heritage of classically minded composers such as Schubert and Beethoven. The rivalry between Brahms and Liszt stemmed from differing musical ideologies and personal animosity, with Brahms favoring classical structures and Liszt embracing adventurous harmonies. Brahms represented the more conservative, traditionally structured sides of the Romantic era, often referred to as, quote-unquote, absolute music. Liszt represented the freer, less structured style dubbed, quote-unquote, the music of the future, advocating for programmatic music that interacted with art, poetry, and literature. Brahms reportedly fell asleep during Liszt's premiere of his piano sonata in B minor, and Liszt famously called Brahms' music hygienic but unexciting. The press and some music critics fueled the rivalry, often pitting the two composers and their respective followers against each other. Brahms penned a manifesto against the, quote-unquote, evil influence of the new German school, which included Liszt and Richard Wagner. The manifesto suggested that these composers, quote-unquote, regard everything great and sacred which the musical talent of our people has created up to now as mere fertilizer for the rank, miserable weeds growing from Liszt-like fantasias. The other composers that were involved in this, Tchaikovsky said of Brahms, I consider you very untalented, full of pretensions, but utterly devoid of creative inspiration. I rate you very poorly. Brahms, by the way, also fell asleep during the premiere of Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5.
I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are.
Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are, introduces our jazz, blues, and pop music news. This is written by Jeff Nelson, June the 9th, 2025, in People magazine. It's titled All About Billy Joel's Rare Brain Condition and What It Means for His Future. Billy Joel was gearing up for a historic summer, set to become the first singer to play concerts at all three New York City area stadiums in the same season. The music icon was forced to press pause on those plans due to private health crises. On May the 23rd, Joel, 76, announced he would be canceling all scheduled concerts while revealing in a statement to People that he was recently diagnosed with normal pressure hydrocephalus, NPH, a brain condition caused by excess cerebrospinal fluid buildup in the brain ventricles that can affect memory, movement, and concentration. I'm sincerely sorry to disappoint our audience, and thank you for understanding, Joel said. The Piano Man singer has faced health struggles publicly in recent months, and his MPH revelation comes after he suffered an onstage fall at a concert in Connecticut in February, causing concern among fans. By March, he had postponed shows through June. Joel's condition has been exacerbated by recent performances, leading to problems with hearing, vision, and balance, the statement said, adding that he's undergoing physical therapy. but he looks forward to the day when he can once again take the stage. Joel's family, including his daughter, singer Alexa Ray, 39, with ex Christy Brinkley, have rallied around the Grammy winner throughout the ordeal. On May 26, his wife, Alexis, 43, gave an update on his condition. "We are so grateful for the wonderful care and swift diagnoses we received. We are hopeful for his recovery. For now, Joel is following his doctor's orders and refraining from performing, and is fully committed to prioritizing his health as he focuses on getting better," the statement added. "He is happiest while performing. Music is, has been, and will always be his life," says his music industry insider. "He's not ready to retire." Indeed, a source close to Joel adds, "He's not retiring and hopes to be able to resume performing as his recovery progresses." And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, "What is AI-generated music? The pros and the concerns." AI music generators are software tools that use artificial intelligence to create music. They analyze existing music data to learn patterns and then generate original melodies, harmonies, and rhythms based on user inputs or predefined algorithms. These tools can be used to quickly produce music for various purposes, including background tracks, theme music, and full compositions. How it works: learning. AI music generators learn by analyzing large data sets of music, including genre, style, and structure. They use algorithms like neural networks to create new music based on the learned patterns. Users can input their preferences, such as desired genre, mood, tempo, and specific instruments to influence the generated music. AI music generators often allow users to further customize the generated music, such as adjusting the length, energy level, or adding specific instruments. The benefits of using AI music generators include accessibility. AI music generators make it possible for individuals without formal musical training to create music. Speed and efficiency. They can quickly generate music for various projects, saving time and effort. Royalty-free music. Many AI music generators offer royalty-free music for commercial use. Versatility. AI can be used to create a wide variety of music styles, from instrumental tracks to songs with lyrics. AI-generated music raises concerns about job displacement, copyright, and the nature of creative expression. As AI becomes more compatible with generating music, there are fears that it could replace human musicians and producers in various roles, leading to job losses and potentially devaluing human creativity. The use of AI in music raises complex legal questions about copyright and ownership. If an AI generates music, who owns it? If an AI uses existing music to train its models, are copyright laws being violated? Additionally, AI can create music that sounds similar to existing tracks, raising concerns about accidental plagiarism or unauthorized use of an artist's style. Some argue that AI-generated music may lack the emotional depth, nuanced creativity, and unique artistic voice that characterizes human-created art. AI algorithms may struggle to replicate the human experiences and emotions that inspire musical expression. AI-generated music may tend to be repetitive or formulaic, as it trained on existing data and may struggle to innovate or introduce truly new sounds. AI algorithms can be trained on biased data, which can lead to AI-generated music that perpetuates stereotypes or misinformation. The ability of AI to create realistic and deceptive audio content, which are called deep fakes, raises concerns about the spread of misinformation and the potential for artists to be impersonated. So overall, the concerns surrounding AI-generated music highlight the need for careful consideration of ethical implications, legal frameworks, and the potential impact on human artists and the music industry as a whole. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question: the song that I played for you at the start of today's program rose to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the U.S. in 1964. What is the name of the group who recorded that number one hit? Was it A, the Velvet Underground, B, the Kinks, C, the Animals, or D, the Yardbirds? And the correct answer is answer C, the Animals. Actually, they're also called Eric Burden and the Animals, to be more precise. And the answer to our second question: how much studio time was paid by the group to record this hit song? Was it A, only 8 minutes, B, just under 1 hour? Was it C, 92 minutes, or just over 7 hours total? And the correct answer is answer A. The total studio time was just 8 minutes, 4 minutes to rehearse and 4 minutes to record. Total cost of studio time came to $5. As noted in AmericanSongwriter.com by Jim Beglivia on March the 14th, 2022, a song is written, and if it's special enough, it hangs around waiting for an artist to claim it, putting their indelible stamp on it so that all other versions are henceforth compared to that one unforgettable take. Nobody is sure who wrote House of the Rising Sun, but we do know that the Animals, powered by the blustery vocals of Eric Burden, claimed it. The musicologist Alan Lomax couldn't even pinpoint the song's exact origin, although he found evidence that jazz musicians knew of it even before World War I. Early versions of the song had promoted the meaning that the rising sun was a brothel. In these variations, the narrator is a woman bemoaning her return to prostitution. Male singers made it the ruin of many a poor boy, which transformed the title establishment into a gambling den. By the time the 60s rolled around, the folk legend Dave Van Ronk included an intense take on House of the Rising Sun as a steady part of his live repertoire. His young acolyte, Bob Dylan, largely mimicked Van Ronk's arrangement of the song and included it on his debut album. Across the pond at around the same time, Burden apparently heard the song from a local folk singer in England. Burden bought it into the Animals, who electrified the song for their 1964 self-titled album. Hilton Valentine played the stoic guitar part that foundations the song, while Alan Price tore into the organ solo as if trying to free every tortured soul trapped by this sinister place. If the music sounded almost supernatural, Burden's vocal gave the song its terrestrial heart, one rent in two by the loaded dice and lost bets. He tempers his performance, starting off low and with deadly serious intent to grab your attention. When he soars up to an octave, all the pain and anguish come pouring out. The tragedy of The House of the Rising Sun is that the narrator seems to have lost his free will. He knows that the house will be his damnation, yet he is en route while he is telling his sad story. At the very least, he tries to use his examples to save others. O mother, tell your children not to do what I have done. And maybe he even hesitates for just a moment before committing to his return. But in the end, he returns. In the final lyrics, Burden comes out with gale force, bellowing the first lines. There is a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. As he hits the final two lines, he descends again with the final words sung with a fierce resignation, almost pride. But it's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. Many have sung House of the Rising Sun before Eric Burden took it on with the Animals, and many will sing it in the future. Its psychological insight and philosophical meaning are all too relevant for the song to be anything but timeless. But it's hard to imagine that anybody will ever again inhabit that doomed soul at the epicenter of the tale quite as well as Eric Burden. So, let's close out today's program in a more relaxing mode with the song Sleepwalk, released on this very day back in 1959 by Santo and Johnny. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.